Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So the basic text or theme for our meditation today will be from our Advent devotional that you should have received and that you've had at home. And so I will read that first, and then we will get into the rest of our message. I've always been curious about Mary's homecoming. That's probably the point where she had to talk with her parents and with Joseph about her pregnancy. Would they believe her? What if they didn't? At only 3 months along, Mary probably had a few more weeks before she began showing, but she didn't have the luxury of putting off these conversations. Decisions needed to be made, plans had to be worked out, and I'm sure as she approached these conversations with a lot of prayer. We have these kinds of moments too, don't we? Times when something scary is coming up, and we've got no real choice but to go through with it. Childbirth, a cancer diagnosis, a relationship ending, the death of someone we love. Whatever it is, we can't avoid it, or not for long. We can only go through it. And of course, there's no guarantee that things will turn out the way we want them to. The Bible doesn't tell us what Mary's parents said. We know that Joseph assumed the worst, at least until the angel spoke to him later in a dream. How painful that conversation must have been for everybody involved. Sometimes I think that God should have spared her the pain, but then this is the same God who didn't spare his own son pain and humiliation. The humiliation of infancy, the pain of the cross. There is an old proverb about beginning as you mean to go on. God is at least consistent. But he's consistent in other ways too. Mary calls him he who is mighty, he who has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. We may go through hard, painful times, but we never do it without God right there with us, holding us, having mercy on us. The one who was born into poverty, who suffered rejection and humiliation and pain, the one who hung on the cross, he is with us as we suffer, as he holds us in our own nail-marked hands. He will not let us go. Can you imagine, really imagine, what it must have been like for poor Mary, this young girl? I mean, come on, right? I've seen these stories today, you know, you see them on the Learning Channel or these shows on the A&E or whatever, you know, and these women will say, well, I didn't know I was pregnant. That always boggles my mind. I guess it can happen, but that always boggles my mind, you know. And then I've watched those teen pregnancy shows, and they, you know, the kids go to their parents, and it never turns out too well. And I think about poor Mary. What must she have gone through? Can you imagine going to your parents and saying, hi, Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant, but God's the Father? I mean, really, seriously, right? How many of you parents would have reacted that way if your daughter would have come to you one day and said, by the way, I'm having God's baby? Probably not so well. You'd probably take him to the psychiatrist immediately. Who knows what Mary's parents did? Joseph didn't react too well to the news in the beginning, but we know, like the text says, after the angel came, he kind of got it. But I imagine still yet, he had a lot of fear too. He had a lot of fear. What would people think about this, you know? What would people think about him? His credibility could be ruined. It wasn't an easy time. It was, in fact, a pretty scary time for Mary and Joseph. And, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us too much about what they were going through, but if we put our own minds to it and realize its reality and think a little bit hard about it, it had to be a very scary, nervous, anxious-making time for Mary and for Joseph and for her parents and for the family around them. Too many times we find ourselves in places where we feel this same pain, the same anxiety, the same hurts, the same feeling of aloneness and worry, and all those things that Mary and Joseph must have felt way back then when she was pregnant with Jesus. We feel them too, just like the text says. We feel them when we get a diagnosis that we don't like, especially when it's cancer. We all hate that word. We feel them when we're working with a parent who is ill and suffering, and maybe they have to move in with us or making the hard choice of putting them in a nursing home. That hurts. We're anxious. We're afraid. We don't know what to do about that. When a loved one dies, you know, they always say, oh, it's easier when a loved one dies and it's expected and they've been on hospice. That's not true. It doesn't matter if it's a surprise or you've known about it for a month or a year or 2 years. It's still not easy. And we go through the mourning process. And it's hard. And we feel alone. And we feel afraid. Right? Or maybe we're marriage problems, or our children are having marriage problems, or whatever that may be. Life just piles up. And it keeps piling up and piling up, and we feel alone, and we feel afraid, and we feel anxious, and all those wonderful human emotions, they get stirred up inside us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when those human emotions get stirred up inside me, I can be grumpy, I can be grouchy, I can be ill, and as my grandma used to say to my grandpa, you can be as mean as a copperhead. Now my wife would say that never happens to me. But you know what I mean, right? It's hard. If any of you can say life has been easy, I would love to talk to you after the service. Life just is hard. I mean, Jesus said to us as his people, hey, I've come into this world, and by the way, you're going to have trouble. Yay, Jesus, thanks. But I've come to give you peace. Peace that this world can't give you. And I always think about what Jesus says when he says to us, take up your cross and follow me. You know, I'm thinking, ooh, that sounds exciting, until I realize, wait a minute, where did Jesus' cross lead him to? Suffering and death, right? Do you think we're exempt from that? No. Life is hard. And the reality is, as we go through these times and seasons like Advent and Lent and preparation, it becomes very, very real to us that life is hard. It never fails. This time of year, and it's statistically true, this time of year there are more deaths, there are more suicides. Do you know why? Why at Christmas? Because it's such a stressful time. We put so much onto ourselves. All the baking and all the shopping and all the gift wrapping and all the expensive gifts we think we have to buy for people and all the debt we rack up. And then there's all the other things we have to do for church and everything else, right? And life just becomes hard. And then you have all the other memories that come flooding, the death of loved ones. Maybe they died around Christmas, or maybe they're not, and this is your first Christmas without them. Life gets hard. Jesus came into this world to make his dwelling among us. John chapter 1 is very clear and adamant about that. And this is key to the existence of Jesus. He came into this world to make his dwelling among us, his home, his tabernacle. He came into this world humbled and poor. Think about that for a second, the song we just sang, right? And in Hebrews, we read that wonderful passage in Hebrews. When Jesus came into this world as a king, well, he could have been born amongst pomp and circumstance, with horns blowing and with a crown on his head and purple garments flowing, but he didn't. That's the way I would have chose to be born if I were king, let me tell you. Right? I didn't have people there with little fans waving and all that, feeding me chocolates and all these things. That's how I would have been born. But not God, not God. No, he said, well, I'm going to come down. I'm going to be born in a stable. And our tradition holds that he was surrounded by animals and manure. And yeah, that was pretty pleasant. Yesterday, I was with one of our members, and we were behind a cattle truck on the interstate. And let me tell you, we passed it as soon as we could. I don't know how Jesus handled that being born, but hey, he humbled himself. He humbled himself so much that God became human. God took on our sinful flesh to be one of us. He came into this world to live the very same life that you and I live. Now think about that for a second. The very same life. He suffered the very same things you and I suffered. He even suffered temptation. He did. He went through 40 days of temptation. He suffered temptation in the garden when he prayed the night before his death, Lord, let this cup pass from me, Father. Remember? And it said that blood, the sweat was like blood falling off of his brow. You know, he was tempted to give it all up, but he didn't, because he obeyed the Father's will. And he did that for the exact purpose of making sure that when he died, we would get his righteousness and his perfection, and he would take on our sinfulness, our ugliness, our wretchedness, our disparity, our eternal death. That's the kind of Jesus we have. And the writer of Hebrews is so wonderful, because we can rejoice in that we have a Savior who can sympathize and empathize with us, because he's lived the life that we have lived, which means that he's by our side every moment. He's by our side every moment because he knows the pain and the torment we go through. He knows how hard life is, and he's by our side to uplift and uphold us. If you don't believe me, read Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate you from Jesus, not even death. He came into this world, as Hebrews says, so that he can truly be one of us. No other religion in the world, and some Christian religions don't even claim this and believe this, that God actually became human flesh in order to save and redeem us from sin, death, and the devil, and to promise to be by our side no matter what we are going through. Now, I know it's easy to feel alone, perplexed, afraid, scared, and lonely. It's easy to feel that. Our human emotions run rampant with us. We are guilty of that. We let our emotions take control of us all the time. I do. We all do. But the fact is, our emotions and feelings, while they are good, can be wrong. What is right is what God's word says. I am with you to love you always, to walk by your side, and to give you hope and peace that this world cannot take away from you. Having a Savior who knows our lives intimately means having a Savior who never leaves our side. Jesus knows you intimately. He knows every hair on your head, and that's easy for me because I have none. He knows every hurt. He knows every pain. He knows every sin. He knows your brokenness. He knows your mistakes. He knows your failures. But do you know what? Because he became human for you, because he died for you, none of that matters to him. The only thing that matters to him is that you belong to him and that you are loved immensely. You are loved so immensely that all your sins are forgiven and you have the gift of eternal life. I get it. It's hard as we go through this world. It's hard because, you know, we're palpable people. We're tangible people. We like to see things and feel things, right? Why do you think Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper so we could touch and feel him? It's hard when we're walking through this world through trial and tribulation to think that Jesus is right by my side. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what I could do. I could perform a tap dance for you if you'd like me to, whatever, to get you to believe this. He is with you always. He promised you that. When he ascended into heaven, he said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." He is by your side. And perhaps maybe that's where these songs of praise come in. Luther has a great quote. He said this: "Next to the noble work of God's word," you love that, I love that, noble work of God's word, "music is the greatest treasure in the world." I don't know about you, but if I'm having a bad day, I can turn on music, and it could be Johnny Cash, or it could be Casting Crowns, and I'm going to feel pretty good. Music just does that. If I'm having a bad day, I'll sing a song, because it lifts my spirits. If I'm having a bad day or a hard time, I'll pick out a great hymn and I'll sing it because it just lifts our spirits. I remember Helena Welch's telling me that her mom knew all of the Psalms and so many hymns, and that when she was on her deathbed, her mom used to sing the Psalms and those hymns, and it brought her comfort because she knew Jesus was with her, right? Right? You see that? That's a beautiful thing. When I visit people who are in hospice, I sing songs with them. Not to scare them, because it's pretty scary, but because they know Jesus is with them. And when you know what they often do? They often mouth the words of those psalms too, even if they have Alzheimer's disease. Pretty amazing how God works, right? And even on his deathbed, Luther sang wonderful hymns and songs. Here's how the human brain works. What we know about the human brain, neurologically, is that music stimulates parts of the brain that nothing else can stimulate. And when those parts of the brain are stimulated, guess what is produced? Oxytocin and other chemicals like oxytocin. And those chemicals, especially oxytocin, guess what other times oxytocin is produced in our body? When we get a hug. When we're told by somebody we care about that we're loved. when we're going through a hard time and somebody holds our hand or puts their arm around us. Oxytocin is released into the body, which gives us peace and joy and comfort. Music does the same thing. It's no wonder God's people sang so much, because they felt his presence in that music. And what's even more interesting neurologically, when we look at babies and we play music for babies, the chemical reactions in the brain will actually calm a baby down. Have you ever noticed that as a parent? Music does wonderful things. And if you need further proof, if you watch The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper is always calmed down when he sings, when he hears the song Soft Kitty. And that's all the proof that we need to show that music is pretty powerful. God put his song of life into creation for a reason. When we sing the praises of Jesus, we feel his presence. We know he is there. There's the song of Miriam and Moses. There's the song of Mary and the Magnificat. There's the song Elizabeth sang. There's the song the angels sang at Jesus' birth. There's the song of Simeon, which we will sing today. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have seen the glory of your salvation. In other words, I'm ready to die, Lord. I've seen Jesus. There was no fear there, was there? He was ready to go. There's the song of Anna, the widow's song. You see, we have such a hope that a song has been placed into our hearts. And that song is life. When Jesus Christ came into this world, when he lived his life, and when he rose from the dead, he put the song of eternal hallelujahs into our heart and our soul to be sung to the top of our voices. Because when we sing the praises of God, several things happen. First of all, Satan flees. He cannot be present. He takes those feelings of fear, loneliness, agony, pain, worry, and doubt with him, and he takes them to hell where they belong, and within us rises up the song of Jesus, and Jesus is present with us by our side in that noble work of music that God has given us in his treasure. Singing does the soul some good. So the reality is, this Advent season, we learn something very important. Number one, we learn that God is truly with us. That's what Emmanuel means. He is by your side every moment of every day. Even when you don't feel it, your emotions are wrong. He is with you. You can't chase him away. You just can't, because he loves you immensely. Number two, music is one of the greatest treasures God has given to his people. And number three, as we sing those wonderful songs of Jesus, the alleluia of life that he's put into our hearts, all hell flees from us. And the Holy Spirit fills our body with the knowledge and presence of Jesus so that we can continue daily to put one foot in front of the other, rejoicing in the life and salvation and eternity that Jesus has won for us on his cross. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen.